The woman that used to grade my Bible tests used to be a caregiver for a quadriplegic man in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. And she told the owner of that house about me. He told her, tell that Iraqi, if he plans to come to the United States, he can stay with me indefinitely for free, and I'm going to help him establish his life here. A few months later, the American embassy in Baghdad started issuing personal visas for Iraqis for the first time in 20 years since the Gulf War. So I applied for the visa, bought the plane ticket, quit my job, packed my bag, said the final goodbyes to my family, flew all the way from Baghdad to New York City, took the bus from Port Authority in Times Square to Reading, Pennsylvania, where that woman and that man were waiting for me. And they took me to stay with them. They gave me this room in their house. I stayed with them. The money that I had brought was getting less. The government did not promptly answer my asylum application. For the first time in my life, me coming from the 7 million metropolis of Baghdad to the Amish country with nothing around me but woods, I could not go anywhere, could not take the bus or train to go anywhere, could not work or drive. Until that one time when we had a singing event in Reading, Pennsylvania, where I met the first member of the Lord's Church. Some of you may know him. He lives in Millersburg. I'm going to visit him on Thursday. And by the way, I'm going to visit the woman in a few hours. That man asked me, come over here, young man. What brought you all the way from Baghdad to the Amish country? And he would be the first one who hears what you're listening today as my story up until that point. He said, you need to share that in my congregation. And he had me speaking in a Sunday morning service at the Camp Hill Church of Christ, the preacher of which happened to be a graduate of the school that I eventually ended up going to. He said, man, you need to go to a preaching school. And he started supporting me in collaboration with your congregation at the time when I ran out of the last dollar to go to the Bible school and study the Bible, finished school, and moved to the Detroit area to take the gospel to the same community I escaped from. 7 years ago, I used to hide my faith to stay alive. Today, I share my faith to make a living. Look at me deep in the eye and tell me that God does not exist. Yesterday, when I talked about preaching the gospel to Muslims, I shared the second part of my story, starting with a time where I finished school and started the Arab Christian ministry that tells Muslims about Jesus and tells Christians about Islam. I would like to conclude with this shorter story that happened in November of 2004. I was a sanitary engineer working for the Iraqi Department of Public Works, and I was assigned to go with another engineer to the biggest county in Iraq, a city that is 40 miles to the west of Baghdad called Fallujah. The American army has just retaken that city from Al-Qaeda, and we were supposed to go to restore the basic services there. We met with two local engineers. We used our measuring tapes and leveling devices to pick a piece of land to be the future Fallujah Water Department. We had lunch in one of the few surviving shish kebab restaurants in that city that looked like a scene from a post-apocalyptic science fiction movie. And we were on our way to a sewerage lifting station when we were caught in a traffic jam. Traffic jam. The city looks empty. Where did that traffic jam come from? The two local engineers said, we have no idea. We have never seen a traffic jam since the battle started. That traffic jam turned out to have been made by a detachment of the American Army specifically for us. They motioned to us to drive into an abandoned alleyway, open the doors, put your hands in the air, and put your faces on the wall. I faced the ugly concrete block wall, having my books and my papers in one hand and lifting the other, with the American soldier pointing his rifle right to the back of my head. Oh, they saw us taking measurements to that piece of land. They thought we were terrorists preparing for a mortar attack. This is a summary execution. I was looking at that wall with only one thought in my mind. remember the time. That was 2004. 6 years after I believed, 6 years before I got to be baptized. In a few seconds, I will meet a God that will not be happy with most of what I did in my life. God, I tried to get baptized, but I could not. Sir, my hand is tired. Can I lower it? The American soldier said, do you speak English? A few seconds and a few radio calls later, they apologized to us and let us go. And so, folks, the point is, we live now in a nation that does not only guarantee our freedom to worship, but also supports and celebrates the Christian faith. And there are so many false teachers that do not teach the wholesome truth of Jesus Christ and tell you that you do not need to obey the gospel to be saved. That one act of obedience that the Bible says is so important for your salvation, so many people are teaching you that you do not need to do that. I saw death literally with my own eyes, and that was the only thing in my mind. So if you have not done this already, please obey the gospel that I am preaching to you this morning if you believe in it. The good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and that we obey his gospel by death to our old selves and by burying ourselves in the water of baptism to symbolize our unity and our incorporation with the body of Christ, and that we raise to a new life, living a lifestyle that is worthy of the sacrifice that was made for us. If you have not done that already, please do that as we stand and sing.